Well, you know, there's been lots of praying, but I think it's always good to pray. And often I pray as I bring God's word, so I'd like to pray with you now. So, Father, we bow in your presence. You like to be invited places, and we know you're here already by your Spirit, but we just invite you here. You like to work with moldable people. I pray that beginning with me, but for each one of us, we would be deeply moldable today. We thank you so much for the gift of the Word of God. And as we consider it now once again, we invite you to be exalted, to be lifted up, and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Long time ago, I heard someone say it, and it impacted me deeply. So much so that I've never forgotten it. And I took it and I put it on a little piece of paper and I taped it on the second monitor on my desk so that I would see it every day and be reminded of it. BYSSIW. BYSSIW. And with those six letters, I'm hoping to earn the right to ask you a couple of questions. And the questions would be this: what is your story going to be? And what is UDAC's story going to be going ahead? And so if you have your Bible, your hard copy, or your device, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Luke. Whether you're here in the room or joining us online, Luke's the third book of the New Testament, one of the stories, one of the historical biographies of the life of Jesus. Luke chapter 5, and we're going to be reading verses 1 to 11 together. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And as I read this one last time with you, I remind you that this is the word of the Lord. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little bit from shore. And then Jesus sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled their partners and the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full, they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. So Jesus already is trending on social media in the nation of Israel. People are flocking to hear this guy. He speaks with an authority that they've never heard. He speaks about God in ways that are new and unique to them. And he has a power about him that people are drawn to. And so there's a huge crowd that has gathered to hear him speak by the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus, being very wise, uses the acoustic amplification properties of water. He gets into Simon's boat. They push it out onto shore a little bit. And the people are gathered and he speaks across the water so the crowds can hear him. And he does this, and he's very grateful for that. And he says to Simon, when he's done talking, he says, I know you've been fishing on your own, but now one more time, why don't you go out and do it? And this time, let me help. And Jesus wanted to do this for each one of us. He wants to come alongside us. He wants to be invited to let him help us. So Pete and the boys have been fishing all night long. They're exhausted. I used to work through the night, midnight to eight, for a number of years when I was younger. And you are tired when you're done a night shift. And he's exhausted. He's frustrated. It's been a long night of very hard work, and nothing has come of it, even though this is something he does all the time. And yet Jesus says to them, let's play cards. Go fish. And Peter, at that point, has a couple of options that are presented to him, I would suggest. The first option is, he could have said, you know, Jesus, with respect, I'm the professional fisherman here. We live here. We work on this body of water all the time. We know what we're doing. But sometimes, even though you're doing this all the time, sometimes it just so happens that the fish have decided to go on the other side of the Galilee, or down to the south end of the Galilee, or whatever. It happens even to the best of us. And to be honest with you, Jesus, when I look at you, you don't look like a professional fisherman to me. You look like you've got some sawdust on your tunic. You look like you're the kind of person that knows how to measure twice and cut once. And if I need a good carpenter, if I need a table built, I'll give you a call. And Peter could have said that. But instead, Peter said, B-Y-S-S. I-W, because you say so, I will. I don't know about you, but I like to figure things out. I like to plan as best I can. And I know life brings curves and all those kinds of things, but I like to prepare if at all possible. But sometimes God will ask us to do something we can't figure out. Sometimes there's a lot of mystery that's attached with the things of God. And frankly speaking, when God asks us to do things sometimes it just may or may not make a lot of sense from a human perspective. It only makes sense in the economy of God. And so a little over 27 years ago, Debbie and I are up in Calgary. And God began to stir in our hearts that it was time to seek a new ministry placement. And we thought we had it all worked out. You know, we thought the plan was coming together. Because this church from another province had called us multiple times. They started out with 15 different people, and they'd narrowed it down to 3 people. And at that point, we were beginning to think, this is what God has for us. We're going to be moving to this other province. We're going to be serving in this particular church. And of course, this was around the time of Noah, and so there was no readily accessible internet. And so this church sent their entire pulpit search committee out, and all their spouses, they all came out to Alberta, to Calgary. They wanted to hear me preach. They met in our home for several hours. They interviewed us in a more extensive fashion than they'd already done. They took us out for supper. I thought the interview went incredibly well. And we were just increasingly convinced that this was the church that we were to go to and the place God would have us go. And it was right around that time that UDAC called us and asked if we would just have a casual chat with the leadership over breakfast. And our kids were really little then. Sean, our son, was not even in kindergarten. Our daughter, Erin, was just heading into grade two. They wanted to meet really early in the morning, halfway between Calgary and Lethbridge. They asked if Debbie could come. I said, no, it's way too early. Like, they wanted to meet at like 7 or 8 in the morning, something like that. I said, we got little kids. She's got to stay. So I just kind of came down and I sat down with them and I met with them. And I just had no, to be honest with you, at that point, I had no expectation that anything was going to come of this. But I knew enough to know you don't ever want to just ignore when God is gently knocking at the door. You want to listen carefully. And this first little chit-chat we had over breakfast was a really mixed bag. And I remember when I went home and I said to Debbie, you know, for the most part, it went pretty well. They're obviously a good godly bunch. But the thing that was super cool is we were sure we were going to this other church, so there was just no pressure. And I was just able to be myself very thoroughly. You know, sometimes you go into an interview and you feel pressure. What do they want to hear? There was none of that. And I was able to just be very, very much myself in a no bowls, bars hold kind of way. And I kind of said to her, and this was the wrong thing to say, but I said, oh, don't even pray about that. There's not a chance they're going to call us back. I can tell. And I was incredibly wrong. And of course, wrong to say don't pray. We should always pray. And second, it was apparent later that God had other plans. A little while after that, this other church called us and said, thanks, but no thanks. And you know, we all hear no in life, and I've heard no numbers of times in my life, but this was a different kind of no. We were devastated because we had completely misheard God. And we didn't I can be honest in saying, we didn't for a moment believe that God had messed up, but we knew that we had dramatically misheard the voice and the leading of God. And we found ourselves saying that first day, how can we ever trust that we've heard from him again? And then we said, and I remember saying this very clearly, we do not want to hear from any other churches for a while now. We need to get our heads together. We need to get right with God. We need to heal. We need to hear from him again. The next day, University Drive Alliance Church called us and said, would you come and candidate in our church? Which, if you're not familiar with the Alliance, in the Alliance Church, to ask to be candidate, it's like being engaged to be married. Like, you are getting married unless there's a dramatic problem. You know, the ring has been given, the whole shooting match, and this is almost a formality, the candidating weekend, in some senses. And every part of me, when they called, just wanted to say, forget it. No way, man, I can't do it. But I also knew enough to know that God's plans can have mystery. And so I said, no, I won't candidate. Debbie hasn't even met you. We don't do anything apart from each other. And so how about if we just come down and we'll just kind of have a casual meeting. We can have coffee together or something like that. And we did that, and they asked us more questions and stuff. And then eventually, again, the church asked us to candidate. This church did. And to be honest with you, I said to them, well, I'm super busy. I can't come for like a month. And because we were just reeling. We were reeling. And we were desperate. And so we did something I would never advise anyone to do. We said, God, we don't know what to do. We're not hearing clearly, obviously. Would you help us? And we decided to lay out 7 fleeces. And a fleece is an ability for God to just say, here's my direction for you. And we said, if they even bat an eye at any one of these 7, we don't go. Because we just need clarity, Jesus. Please help us. And even though there was outside forces and urging us not to come here, when we voiced these things, the leadership in this church went, yes, 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 yes. And we said, yes, God. What an incredible blessing. I'm so glad I didn't mishear God that time. An incredible gift from a loving God. And our service here has been the highlight of our walk with Jesus. What a wonderful church to be part of. So glad we listened to Jesus and followed his clear leading. I ask you this. What is the story of Jesus leading in your life? What's your posture towards him? Because he has something for you. Peter said to Jesus, B-Y-S-S-I-W, what has God put in your heart to do? And it looks a little different. You've heard me say this many times. It looks different in every life. But Jesus has something for you, something that has eternity stamped on it, something that will make a difference in the lives of others, something that will allow you to praise God with your life in a way that is dramatic, in a way that is joy-filled, in a way that is life-giving, in a way where you'll be able to say, this is such a, it might be tough, but it will be a sweet place to be in life. And so the boat goes out and Jesus performs this miracle. And let me just say, our God is still in the business of performing miracles. And you know, sometimes in our family of churches, I think sometimes in my life, we have all the right theology, maybe. This is the proper way of thinking about God. We can usually articulate that theology at least reasonably well. But sadly, I think we live with muted expectations at times. Our God's still in the business of doing that. And so the nets are breaking and the boats are starting to sink. Peter sees this. He's freaked out by it. He falls at the feet of Jesus and he says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. And he recognizes the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a significant event in Peter's life. He assumes a position. He assumes a posture of deep-seated humility. And he surrenders to Jesus. And Jesus says to him in verse 10, don't be afraid, Peter. From now on, you are going to catch men and women. The sermon I preached on when I candidated 27 years ago was based on two of my life verses, Colossians chapter 1, 27 and 28. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we might present everyone perfect, meaning mature, in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. And in those two verses, it's the whole shooting match. It's what we're about. We proclaim him. The goal is to take people that are outside the family, people that are kind of peering over the fence at Jesus, and inviting them, praying for them, giving, being there for them, befriending them, pointing them to Christ so that the Spirit of God can change their life. We can't do it. Only Jesus can. So we share Jesus with people. And then we help them grow up in him, admonishing and teaching. So gentle correction when they need it, helping them to become disciples of Christ, that then as they reach maturity, start helping others to go through the same process. And we do our best, it says in verse 29. I do my best to do this with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. In other words, I do this, but I can't do it alone. I have to do it in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Jesus does these things. And that has been the calling of this church since long before I got here. It's been the calling of this church in the years that Debbie and I have been privileged to serve here. And it will be the calling of this church after we leave. Many hundreds of people have come to Christ in these last 27 years. Many, many more will come to faith in Christ in the years to come. And a key question you need to ask yourself is, what is my part in this? This is part of what Jesus will put in your heart to do. And again, it will look different based on how Jesus has gifted you. So they drop everything, they abandon their boats, and they follow him. And this is a big, big deal. There's no social safety net in those days. This is the family biz, and they're just walking from it all. And they say, Jesus, we're all in with you. We're here with you. And they understood fundamentally a primary target of all we do, as it says in verse 10, is catching men and women. Men and women here in Lethbridge, in Alberta, in Canada, like the Bible says, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And it all begins with acknowledging Jesus Christ as the leader by adopting this heart posture of humbleness, which he did, which says, I recognize who you are, Lord Jesus Christ. I recognize who I am in contrast to you. And then praying, BYSSIW. Some people call this the prayer of availability. In February, just a couple months ago, we're rolling along. We're seeking God as a church. We have been for a few months. For this revisioning process we've been going through, asking this key question, what's God's next holy goal for us as a church? I'm in the middle of a meeting in a room right behind us, back up here, and you've heard me say this, but God gave me four words, and the four words, right at the beginning of the meeting, maybe 15 minutes in, he said, is this a burden you're to be a part of? And the second word was no. And the third word was, it's time for someone or something new for you, Dak. And then the fourth word was, it's time for something new for you, Scott. And it really rocked me at that moment because we love it here. But when God says go fish, as an act of worship and sacrifice, we say, BYSSIW. Now, because we still have some overtones of 27 years ago, and I think there's wisdom in this as well, we decided to take 4 or 5 weeks. We thought and prayed and fasted about this, talked with some other godly people that know us well. And during that time, God gave, I like to use these words, not original with me, a sustained impression. And I mentioned last night, Trask said to me, Brent Trask, he said during that time, you've been given the gift of clarity, a sweet gift from Jesus, and a gift of self-definition. And so sometimes God's will for us comes in an instant, just like that. But probably more often it develops over a time through a variety of ways. But I believe he gives this sustained impression, which is always informed by the Word of God. And over time, the sustained impression just gets deeper and fuller and more vibrant. What does this then mean for UDAC, for the story of University Drive Alliance Church? Rod Reamer wrote this. He said, the number one question in the heart of people for God is, do you love me? That's the first and primary question we have towards God. Do you love me? And we know that he does, right? We just spent 11 weeks walking through the book of 1 John. And so many times, every passage we studied, the comment, dear children, we are loved by a God who never breaks his word, who never changes. So we know this to be true. Then Rod continues in the rest of his quote, and the number one question in the heart of God for people is, will you trust me? And I say to you, our God can be trusted. God has a good future for you, Dak, one in which he will be honored like Peter did with Jesus. And people will come to faith. People will continue to grow in him as Jesus promised in verse 10. And so on my last day with you, I challenge you to dig deep. I challenge you to stay committed. I challenge you to stay here, to serve well during the time of transition. Beginning tomorrow, I will be your former pastor, but I will cheer you. Debbie and I will cheer you from the sidelines. We will ask for God's blessings to continue to rest here. A number of you have asked me and Debbie if we will continue to attend here, and we won't. We won't be. We might come back for a special service once in a while. But the reason we do this is not because we don't love you, because we do. The reason we do this, and there's great wisdom in this, you have really good leadership here, good staff, good elders, and we want to just give them the fullest opportunity to lead and lead you well, and they will. I call on you as I go to do for this board of elders and the staff and whoever the next lead pastor is going to be, I call on you to do for them what you have done for us, for the leaders and for the next lead pastor. Bless them in every conceivable way. Support them, love them, pray for them, encourage them. Be very generous with them, which you always have been. Always give them the benefit of a doubt. Assume the best about them. I thank you for the honor. Sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. This is who I am. I thank you for the honor of serving Jesus with you. And now I leave the last word to my better half. Yeah.
We wanted to bless you as we say goodbye. It can be hard to find the words. And so I chose to take words from the book of all the best words. Philippians chapter 1 goes much like this. We will thank our God every time we remember you. In all our prayers for you, we will pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right we should feel this way about you because we have you in our heart. God can testify how we will long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is our prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God our Father. May the grace, whether we come and see you again or only hear about you in our absence, we will know that you stand firm, striving as one for the gospel. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glorious throne with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore.